Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the bulldozer Matt Tremont, and if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, bearded dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it. Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, homie. Fuck that. Black D. How?
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, January 22nd, 2014. Welcome to some blog show ran by some Mark. This is Yakuza Kick Radio, and I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. What's going on? Got some stuff to talk about today, including I'm going to, you know, talk a little bit about the DJ Hyde shoot interview, as I promised last week. No guests tonight. Probably going to be, you know, on the end of the short show. Talk a little bit about the Raw that happened on Monday, and the Royal Rumble coming up on Sunday, which is, will be the first WWE pay-per-view I've watched since, I think, like, last WrestleMania or something like that. You know, a bunch of other things. Obviously, the NFL playoffs I have to talk about, you know, and all that stuff. Try to get through everything I can. I guess, go in a little bit about my current stuff, what I do, you know, the running and all of that stuff. Last Thursday, I actually did my first big run of the year. I did like a 16K, which is like 10 miles and change. I made the decision, you know, after Wednesday's show. I was like, all right, well, you know, if anybody remembers too, I explained last week, I really didn't even have the money to, you know, gas money to go to the gym and stuff like that. So I didn't do much of that. Monday I went running, did a little 5K. That was the first run I did all year. And decided, all right, you know, Thursday, you know, come Thursday morning, I got money in my account to go do, you know, what I want to do. And I'm like, well, I can go back to the gym on Thursday, or I can come home and put in a big run. And to me, it had to be big. It had to be at least double what I did on Monday. So that was at least 10K was what I was aiming for. But so I came home, did the run. And when I did it, thing with me, once I start running, once I start getting to the higher numbers, I don't want to stop. Because I start looking at, you know, the pedometer and going, all right, well, you know, coming up on 10K and just keep going. Next thing you know, I'm hitting 11K or 12K, and I'm like, well, shit, I'm not stopping before I hit 15 or that much. So the next thing you know, I hit 15, and I look, it's like 1560-something. So, you know, you just add, like, another lap around the block you're running on or so. I ran down to the bay over here is about, say about 3 miles away, something like that. So I think that's roughly right, something about 3 miles. So I ran there and back and then just started zigzagging the blocks, like all the way to the end of a block, you know, turn to the next block over, then go all the way back up that block, like zigzagging pretty much all the way back home, like I said, and then just extended a little bit, you know, when I seen that I wanted more distance and I was almost home. So so yeah, I put that in, and honestly, you know, felt pretty good about everything, like, you know, nothing too sore. I mean, obviously sore as shit the next day, but nothing pulls or nothing like that. So definitely feeling good. Obviously, I couldn't get in any runs this week with all the fucking cold and the snow, and now, you know, much, much worse cold and shit. But definitely went back to the gym and, you know, went back to the gym on Friday and then, you know, again this week. So, yeah, good stuff. And definitely looking forward to this year of races. I actually looked up and started actually scheduling, figuring out what the schedule is for my races and everything. And I plan to, from what I'm looking at here, I plan to do 7 mud races this year. The first one being in April in Pemberton. So that's one right there. And it's actually a decent-sized one. I think it's like 6 to 8 miles or something like that. So it's bigger than a 5K to even start the season with. So I'm looking forward to that because it's one I haven't done. You know, last year I only did Foam Fest, which I ain't even going near this year. That's lightweight compared to all the other stuff. Foam Fest, you know, and that's all the way in New York to even do that. So doing it once was fine last year to break myself in, but yeah, that's lightweight compared to this stuff. So I did that, and I did Warrior Dash, and I did Tough Mudder. So those two I'm going to redo. I'm going to do those again this year. But the one in Pemberton, that's like an early spring run, and I'm going to do that one in April. And then June 21st I'm going to do one over in Jackson. And then June 28th, that's a week later, so I'm going to do them back-to-back weeks, is another one that's ran by the same people as the April one. So I'll see what it's like in April, and I'll know I got another one of those in June. And then July 12th, I got the Rugged Maniac. August is the Warrior Dash again. September 6th, I got the Super Spartan. And then following that, it's Tough Mudder in October. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm really going to turn it up and just continue to push myself. I'm going to do a bunch of just regular 5K races too. I want to see if I could do maybe 10 of those. I mean, maybe if I can pull off 10 of them, you know, that'd be nice. I definitely want to hit, you know, all time, you know, personal records and all that shit. Everything I do, I want to top anything I did in the past. So that's what's up there. Let me see what else. Dennis Rodman went into rehab, and I think the motherfucker should go to rehab in North Korea, personally. I think it's some old bullshit the shit he's been down with, and it's like, I don't know, drunk, whatever the fuck he's talking about. He's still hanging out with this dude, and that's like his get down. So whether he was drunk in an interview or anything like that, like, that dude's, he's got some issues beyond fucking substance. So I guess that he should just go get his shit right in fucking North Korea and, you know, apply for citizenship or whatever they do over there. I turned this on my TV, and I really don't know why I did it, because the whole concept just completely baffled me. And then just seeing it on my TV, of course, really no audio because I'm doing a show. But now I didn't catch it from the beginning, but the whole thing is just fucking wacky. This Pro Bowl shit has gotten out of control. This is, it's like fantasy football with Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders as the owners of these fantasy football teams, and more or less the people who I'm guessing the people who got into the Pro Bowl, who would normally have gotten into the Pro Bowl, are now available for these dudes to pick, like fantasy football teams. So now they're just sitting out there in Hawaii with stupid looks on their face, picking dudes to be on their team, and I don't know. I think that's what's going on there, but goddamn, this shit is goofy as hell. And, man, the Pro Bowl is gone to shit. I mean, it was really garbage anyway, because for a while they had it after the Super Bowl, and no one would watch it because, you know, everything was done after the Super Bowl anyway. Anyone who was in the Super Bowl wasn't going to, you know, follow up and just, you know, go play in that. And then a couple years back, they switched it to before the Super Bowl, which was even worse because, you know, damn well anyone who was playing in the Super Bowl ain't playing that at all, because obviously they got to play in a week. You know, there was really little that came off of it. I guess they got whatever payday. And I think they had some shit with a draft pick or some kind of shit that relied on that. I forget what the actual circumstance was of the Pro Bowl. But it was always just kind of laughed at. And when they, you know, their attempts to actually revitalize this thing has just been horrible. So now what they're doing here, it's, you know, again, as I speak, Jesus posting a picture of Mr. T on a unicorn that said, follow your dreams, fool, on on my fucking Facebook. So he's bugging. So yeah, that's what's going on with this Pro Bowl shit. I don't fucking know. I think going to this this whole Raw, Royal Rumble, all of this stuff. Raw started out, and I ain't gonna go through the whole thing because I ain't watched the whole fucking thing. I skimmed through, I DVR, so I fucking fast forward my ass off during this shit. First thing that happened on Raw. Jesus Christ, I'm yawning like a motherfucking night. First thing that happened on Raw that stood out was Batista coming out in some motherfucking jeggings. And, I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. I don't know why the fuck dude's wearing jeggings. And then the dude's got a fucking nose ring stud. I mean, I even took a picture of that shit with the iPad while, because Randy Orton just had a look on his face like, you gotta be kidding me, motherfucker. I mean, that shit looks stupid as hell. I don't know, man. I know people love to stick up for the dude and whatever, but god damn, you look ridiculous. Dudes ain't supposed to wear that type of shit. Looking like fucking yoga pants, jeans, and shit he's wearing into the fucking ring. God damn. I have no doubt that the dude's most likely going to win the Royal Rumble and go get his, you know, title shot at Mania and stuff, but motherfucking ridiculous. I mean, to the point where later in the show he came out and did a little, you know, running, because I guess he's, you know, their starting point is him fucking with Del Rio. And he goes in with Del Rio, hits him with that Batista bomb, and he ain't even sit out with the Batista bomb, because he would have split his motherfucking pants. He would have ripped his fucking pants straight up the asshole he tried to sit out with them fucking things. Shit is crazy. So, I don't know. Then they had The Shield versus Biggie Langston, Cody Rhodes, and Goldust. You know, so that was good right there. They continue to do good shit with Cody and Goldust. And I'm guessing, you know, Biggie's got to be a face now, right? So, when you got The Shield and all that, you know, doing what they're doing. Let's see. Trying to see. I fucking clicked on something else. All right. So The Shield wins that, whatever. Fandango and Xavier Woods. Fandango won. Xavier Woods, I don't really know exactly what they're doing. I know for a minute when I popped in a couple weeks back, they were doing something where he stole, like, the Funkadactyls and, like, took Brodus's music and the whole shit. And then, I don't know, I guess that went away. And now he's fighting Fandango. And, yeah, like, that, I don't know. I don't really know what goes on with that. Fandango shit kind of blew up. I mean, it was big initially, and I think half of it was just trolling on the music and people trying to, you know, jump on that. But his shit seemed to flop after that. I don't know. It kind of seemed like Xavier Woods was going somewhere when they were doing the Funkadactyl thing, and I don't, maybe they're still doing that. I don't really know, but you know, I guess we'll see where they go with that dude. I mean, maybe we'll see if I watch them all. Then CM Punk went up against Billy Gunn, or, you know, Retro Ziggler and shit. And Billy Gunn's got a giant forehead now. I don't know if his shit just receded like a motherfucker since the last time he was here, or if that shit just has been that way for a minute. But, yeah, this was all right. Billy Gunn's, you know, not quite the worker he was in the past, but obviously, you know, years of not doing shit will slow you down. But it wasn't bad. Mysterio Del Rio, for some reason I couldn't give a shit about this, and I didn't really watch much of that. I guess I started to reach, like, my fill on Raw, and I was just like, all right, then. And just kind of skimmed, and then a Divas match came up, and that was like a roll-up, ended in a roll-up or something. Usos were up against the Wyatts. And the Usos won. They've been doing their thing. Usos been looking really good. They really got to get this tag division, you know, a little more solid. I mean, they got a lot of pieces that will work with the Wyatts doing their. I mean, they have their own, you know, gimmick that, you know, that works, that looks good, all that. And the Usos got their thing. Goldust and Cody Rhodes, the Shield. Even though I think that's going to be, you know, maybe they'll just break it off a little bit. You know, maybe just Roman Reigns will bounce out and then you'll have something going on still. But they have a lot they could – they have the pieces to do something with their tag division. I just don't know that they fully execute with it. But from what they've said for years, too, Vince isn't big on tag team wrestling. So I don't know if that's the truth or what's what, but you kind of see by what gets put out there. Orton up against Kofi Kingston, didn't really watch that much. And then, you know, just more or less going into the whole Rumble thing. Rumble on Sunday is going to be Randy Orton versus John Cena for the World Heavyweight Championship. Big Show versus Brock Lesnar, which I haven't liked the build of this. I think Brock's just got to go in the pay-per-view and just murder Big Show like he's, like, you know, he's prone to do, just destroying people, because they've made Brock look like a bitch leading up to it. You know, I had Big Show just kind of launching him and shit, and then, you know, Brock just kind of, like, bitching out, and that's not really, like, the Brock Lesnar type thing. Like, usually he's, you know, yeah, a lot stronger character. He's not really bitching out of much. When he comes out, he fucks shit up, and then he gets the fuck out of there. But, yeah, I gotta think he's gonna fuck him up. Hopefully it writes Big Show off TV for a minute, because I can't stand looking at that dude. Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt, that should be pretty good. I don't know if they're gonna drag that a couple months and then do it again at WrestleMania. I'd imagine. They just seem to do way too quick with that whole feud and you know, teaming up and then breaking it off, the whole thing. So I got to think, like, they're going to draw this out for a couple months, and then they're going to have the, yeah, maybe it'll be a gimmick match or something, but, you know, stipulations or some shit like this. But Bryan and Bray Wyatt and shit at Mania. The tag team championships, which is a kickoff, which I guess that means, like, dark match shit, which they love to fucking do that with the any titles. They just love to put them on, like, the pre-show. And that's the Brotherhood, which I'm guessing is Cody Rhodes and Goldust versus the New Age Outlaws. So, and then the Royal Rumble, at least from what they've announced, is CM Punk, Alberto Del Rio, Biggie Langston, Miz, R-Truth, Xavier Woods, Cody Rhodes, Goldust, Kofi, Rey Mysterio, Batista, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, Damian Sandow, Curtis Axel, Zack Ryder, who surprised me that he still works there, Jay and Jimmy Uso. So, I think they're in that match, too. Something's going to happen with the Shield.
John Moxley in a bear suit, banging chicks.
Well, you know, maybe not quite that, but he's going to – I think something's going to happen. They're either going to break it off completely where, you know, Roman Reigns is going to leave there, or it's going to be something that – it's going to be the beginning of the breakup of that daring rumble where there's some dissension and people get eliminated and shit like this. So I tend to think that's what's going to happen. But, yeah, so that's that. I don't doubt for a second that Batista will win it. Surprise entrance, I really don't know. I mean, I don't know. Royal Rumble's pretty good for that usually. But I think that's 21 out of 30 announced, something like that. So I figure there's 9 other people they could put out there. And, yeah, we'll see what happens. Like I said, I'll check it out. All right, I take a first break and play a track here. Tonight I'm going to go on a little bit of flip mode squad streak or whatever the fuck you want to call it. I popped back on the Rod Diggus CD the other day, the Dirty Harry, and I just remembered, like, man, you know, pretty top to bottom. You know, a few exceptions in there, but pretty top to bottom. That album is tight. And, I think you should check that out. If you haven't heard it before, Dirty Harry, there's a couple of these guys from the Flip Mode had a lot more potential than I think they were put out there. I thought Rod Diggus would definitely have longevity and be one of the, you know, top chicks in the rap game for a long time. And you really didn't hear too much of him. I think she's still a Young Z. I know she was for years. I don't know if she still is. But Lord Have Mercy is another dude, and his voice is just crazy. And I seen the one album he put out, you know, some years back. It was too sing-songy. It had just too much fluff to it. The shit sounded too commercial and too sing-songy for the type of voice he has. You know, his shit needed to be rugged. It needed to be more hard-hitting. And the track I'm going to play is more what I wanted to see more of him. You know, more out of them. And then the other one I'm going to play later on is Rampage. Rampage was the dude that I think a lot of it came off of the production that, you know, Busta was putting in there. But on top of that, you know, Rampage just had he had a great voice. He probably could have used a little bit more lyrical talent, but in the same token, wasn't terrible. And, yeah, his voice was pretty on point. So, but yeah, cats kind of went by the wayside for the most part. But anyway, I'll start off with the Lord Have Mercy joint. And like I said, the dude's voice is thorough. And I think if he came more aggressive like he did on this track for an album or so, it would be a little bit more of a he might have bought himself some longevity. I don't know what the fuck the dude's doing now. But anyway, check it out.
See, in the beginning, I gave love, and I got lies. I gave brotherhood, and I got betrayal. So now, here in the end, I will give darkness, and I will get the vengeance needed to free my heart. Come on! Now I bring it dead wrong. Somehow it's righteous to kill. I cry tears with God, visit Christ on the hill. The power six squads and show I'm nice with the steel. Powerful pit jaws, push your life on the shield. I don't party y'all, I just MC body y'all. Crowd streets like Mardi Gras, you probably saw. Now Lord have it, car crashes, all gas. Broadcasted, raw rapping, all action.
We don't play around.
Come on,
fuck that.
What?
Lay down.
Come on. Don't insult me.
Fuck rapping for fame. I rap till these niggas is gauze wrapping your brain. All actual pain. Fall back in your lane. Call passes ordained. Enjoy baths in the rain. Hardcore fracture your face. I'm back on the case. Have your jawline tapping your waist to fuck out my face.
Stand up.
Charge. Charge.
Hands up.
Charge. 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 Charge.
Somebody's calling my name.
Yeah, yeah, I walk through the shadow of death. I'm gon' fear no evil. You don't know me, nigga, I fear no evil. Priceless rhyme, slice is fine, you all see through. Life a crime, life divine, they all evil. It's a cold world. Straight shot hit your misses. From West Coast niggas that rock socks with clippers, or East Coast niggas with scuffed up Chucka Timbs, or some motherfucker you, fucker her, fucker him.
Back up, what? You get strong.
Come on.
Act up, what? Let's get it on.
Come on. Yeah. Pull my sword and shield properly. Rusty blades, trust these ways. Cut sloppy weed, must be paid. Fuck these games, no lottery. Fuck these dames, suck these brains. Give lobotomies, my music whispers. Futuristic space odyssey. Do them how they gotta be. Represent properly.
Stand up,
charge.
Let's get it on.
Charge.
Hands up,
charge.
Let's get it on.
Charge.
Man up,
charge.
Let's get it on.
Charge.
People that brought you on. Stand up,
charge.
Charge,
hands up, charge,
get it on.
Charge,
man up,
charge,
get it on.
Charge,
people, that's what you want.
Oh Lord, have mercy.
None of my sheep.
Somebody's calling my name.
There is no mercy, so let my death certificate blaze. If we face off, I'll rip your face off like Nicolas Cage. Got a heavy heart and ridiculous rage. I was chronic from the start. You were tricking these days. Keep it barbaric to God. Had it with all of y'all. Bump heads with niggas, now they falling off. Concentration, then your camps the Holocaust. Bloody, now haul them off. Bloody can't call them off, cause
we ain't
what?
Back down.
Come on.
We just
what?
Back down.
6 feet deeper, I dig a ditch with the reaper. Drill a click till they feed up. Street sweeper, make a seer.
Stand up,
charge,
let's get it on.
Charge,
hands up,
charge,
let's get it on.
Charge,
man up,
charge,
let's get it on.
Charge,
people, that's what you want. Stand up,
charge,
let's get it on.
Charge,
hands up,
charge,
let's get it on.
Charge,
man up,
charge,
let's get it on.
Charge,
people, that's what you want.
Somebody's calling my name.
Yes, Lord! Yeah. Sword and shield. It's all for the real. It's all for the thrill. It's all for the kill. Come on.
All right. One thing I wanted to talk about too is Wrestling Soup. You know, my friends over there at the Wrestling Soup. They're thinking about more or less stopping doing the show. Now, whether that would wind up being a hiatus or what, they're more or less, you know, for a variety of reasons, and, you know, I'll go in a little bit about it, but, you know, obviously they have a little more deep feelings on their reasons more so than I would, so I can only elaborate so much, but, the thing with them too is, their popularity is tremendous. And the thing with this, and I've learned this over time, when I started doing my thing, I would get kind of annoyed that, like, my live listens have always been shit. Like, I've gone out of my way to really try to promote and do whatever I can. And, you know, the chat room's always like, you know, at most, we've had some shows that actually got, you know, a little bit active. There might be 10 people in the chat room. I mean, these guys from early on had 150 people in a chat room, had 100 people in the chat room, and like nonstop conversation. Like it was just an absolute community from the second that they, you know, that they started the show until they ended the show. That was like, and shit, they were doing long ass shows too. They were doing like 4 hour shows or more. And, you know, for that time, it was just, you know, a 4 hour window, 4 or 5 hour window of this community just having at it and interacting and all that. And of course, you know, mostly fake names and fucking, you know, the whole thing. So, you know, they'd know each other through that, but a lot of anonymous type shit, you know, just under, you know, Dickhead 32 or whatever. So, you know, it became the norm for that to happen. And over time, this is the community they built. Their Wrestling Soup Facebook page is super active, was always super active, was again a giant community of people, and they begin to know each other's personalities a little bit and know, you know, who they liked and who they didn't like. Yet a lot of these people that would call in, well, I'd say a portion of them, maybe a third of the people who, you know, interacted in the chat would actually call in. But you would get these people that called in on a regular basis, and again, you would see more of a rapport forming throughout these people. Through this time, some of them, you know, got their little cliques together, and I'm not going to go too far in on specifics or whatever of, you know, what they're, because I'm not putting them over, but they started catching feelings, and they started thinking, well, I like this, and I don't like that, and I like this, and I don't like that, which is criticism that's going to come with any show, because, well, shit, you know, I mean, that's what you get when you get a community. You get people that like things and people that don't like things, and then the community starts to fight with each other, and a lot of that was happening. So a lot of the guys broke off, and they became, instead of the fans of the show, they became haters of the show. And then you got a lot of these internet trolls starting up problems, and they get deeper and deeper and deeper, and they become, you know, intertwined in your personal life, where they're actually trying to fuck with you. Like, they go from just listening to a wrestling podcast to actually trying to fuck with you. Like trying to get, you know, phone numbers or addresses and really, like, fuck up your personal life. And that's, like, kind of a lot of the shit, I think, that went on over time. You know, that really negatively affected, you know, Mish over there and Joey. I think more so Mish, but either way, I mean, they definitely both faced quite a bit of this drama, and it was completely unwanted on their end. And, of course, too, when you're the type of show like Wrestling Soup, that plays like a real I don't give a fuck attitude, you know, that image as if like come get me type shit, you know what I mean? So it's not to say that, you know, they warranted anything that came from it, but I think it made those guys want to step their game up that much more, because look how Rough Wrestling Soup attacks this topic or that topic. If I'm going at them, I really got to fucking step my game up. And I think that's what a lot of these people did. And, you know, there wasn't anything right about it. You know, it was fucked up, you know, majority of shit that these people did. And, you know, it just becomes tedious. It becomes something that you don't want to deal with anymore. And I think that was a big part of it. And then on top of that, it becomes jobs. You know, you have jobs. I mean, you know, Mish lives in Chicago, and Joey lives over, you know, Boston and shit. So, you know, different time zones. And, you know, it's only whatever, an hour difference, but it's enough to make a difference if, you know, you want to do the show at this time and they want to do the show at this time. You know, that four-hour show might start, you know, wearing into what time you got to wake up for work tomorrow and shit like this. So, you know, a lot of different things right there. But, yeah, I just wanted to comment it because, like I said, they had such tremendous popularity that, I don't know, it was weird. It kind of spun around on them. And I don't think it's anything that they deserved or anything like that. it's just, it's crazy how these communities happen. And in my opinion, like, the more I've seen any one of these groups or communities have a small window of good, but almost every one of them crumble in on themselves. No matter what this fucking community is about or group's about, you'll just see this shit deteriorate, because it's just what happens on the internet. It's just a group of people that don't know shit about each other and are out there looking for someone to fucking talk to, because obviously they ain't got nobody in their life. And the next thing you know, wow, you realize why they don't have nobody, because they're a bunch of dickheads. And they're on there bickering and arguing and this and that. And it's not even taking a shot at anybody in particular, but I'm just saying, like, that's the majority of the shit that you see happen in any one of these groups. And they'll all start out just a big friendly bunch of people conversing. But it always turns up a drama, always, no matter what it is. But so in retrospect, I'm glad that I never had the live listening. I don't know how I would handle that whatsoever if people were coming to me like that. And, I wouldn't appreciate that at all. I know that for sure. And, but beyond all that, I've also thought about doing something a little different. I'm gonna keep doing the show regardless. But because, coming to realization of live listenership not really meaning anything. Because if I get a bunch of downloads and stuff, well, shit, someone's listening to me. That's all I want. I don't give a fuck whether it's now or next week. If someone's listening to me, then, well, I'm getting my word out there. And that's all I really want to do. This is a hobby. I'm not going to be on a radio station anytime soon. I'm not going to, be doing anything that's going to make me money. Honestly, I would like it to cost me less. So that's something I might look towards in this year, making it a strictly archived podcast where I would put it out when I put it out, and then you can get it. It wouldn't be about, oh, well, you could stream it live at this time, at this night, or whatever the fuck. And I could even say, well, I put it up every Monday, or I put it up every Wednesday, or I could put it up any, what I mean? I like the freedom to be able to do it whenever I want, which I can do now, but also, if the live thing becomes not an issue anymore, I wouldn't have to pay what I'm paying now. And, maybe I could just upgrade my computer system and just be able to do it all right that way. So, just little things I'm looking into. But I've been looking a lot at the podcast scene as far as wrestling shows go. Now, Wrestling Soup became, they talk about a lot of different things. So, as I do. But they came out of the Don Tony and Kevin Gastel show. Mish was doing a lot of, production and different things for Don Tony over there. And it kind of got him into doing it for himself. And that's kind of helped launch the whole Don Tony, Kevin Gastel helped launch Wrestling Soup. That's where that all came about. But, Don Tony and Kevin Gastel, they're another people with a giant community. They had the same kind of drama going on their shit too. And, those dudes are in their fucking 40s now. And you start to get that just same fucking stories over and over and over and over and over. I get it. You saw Backlund in the garden at such and such, whatever. And they have more old school knowledge than I'll ever have, because honestly, that's not my gig. It's not my deal. And I always respected that. And honestly, they're good at what they do, but I think their content has grown pretty stale. And it's not something they're going to progress on, because – like, Don Tony is always Anthony DeBlasi, for those who don't know, the dude's name. I mean, it's no secret. He says it on the show and everything. But he's against indies. Kevin Gastel, too, he has no interest in watching any indies. Not into it whatsoever. And honestly, like, years ago, I think it might even be before I did the show, I was listening to them and just like, wow, this is a good, weekly wrap-up on what's going on Raw, and they touch a little TNA and this and that, and they seem to know their shit, whatever. This is, 4 years ago or something like that. And I'm like, oh, and they're taking listener questions all the time and shit like this, and I send in a question like, what's your thoughts on CZW? Because, again, CZW's always been kind of my go-to thing, and that's what I watch and consistently follow the most. And Don Tony's response on the air was, and I wish I knew which show it was because I clip it and play it a million times, but he said something like, I don't like CZW, it's not for me, all they do is death matches, all they do is hardcore. And he said, And he started getting into it, and I had to do a little bit of math over his stories about the XPW thing, where he was actually kind of, I don't even want to say street team because I know it was more than that. And he paid for some talent over there in XPW. You know, he helped out a little financially. I know he helped run bus trips for XPW. Now, remember, this is XPW that came over to the East Coast to try to bury the East Coast promotions, to try to, you know, put out a statement and really run the, you know, went in and tried to take where CZW was running and really try to run those companies out. Now, I don't know. I don't think that De Blasi had any even knowledge of that going in. I think his draw to it was that they were another ECW-ish company, and he was a big ECW mark. So I think when he hooked himself to that, knowing that, okay, well, Douglas is here, and this guy's there, and that guy, this is what I like, this is what I want to be, and they're coming to the East Coast, I want to help them, I want to be part of it. And this is, that's what I think his initial deal was. Now, when he got real big into it, and he got his, you know, he got all hitched up to it, then it was immediately evident that they were having huge issues and huge feuds and not even feuds, but they did not like CZW. They did not like ROH, and there was a big issue with the two of them. Where honestly, XPW was the problem because they were coming into someone else's territory, not the other way around. It wasn't CZW and ROH running XPW out of Cali. It was fucking XPW coming in and trying a hostile takeover. And so that's what they did. And I think at that point, he just took sides with the company who he was siding with and then immediately just said, fuck that. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want to watch their stuff. The shit's garbage, whatever. According to him, and I want to say it was either Cage of Death or Night of Infamy. And this is back, like, I'm thinking XPW days. I'm trying to think of the year that was. And I want to say that might have been the first Night of Infamy. So that might have been like Cage of Death 4. I think we're talking around the area of Cage of Death 4. Yeah, that makes sense because that would have been the year that Messiah came in, and yeah, I think so. So we're talking Night of Infamy 1, where you had Wifebeater versus Zandig in one of the craziest fucking no rope barbed wire matches you'll ever see. The Cage of Death 4 being just fucking nutty. I don't remember which show it was. It was either Night of Infamy or Cage of Death. Now, both shows were crazy. Both shows had a couple death matches on them. Because especially back then, Zandig was really trying his limits. He was seeing how much he can get away with, and he was really pushing the limits. You know, rip the fucking canvas off. We got barbed wire on the fucking boards you're walking on top of the no rope barbed wire, plus fans bring the weapons, plus fucking, you know, I think they were still doing tubes in the building, and like the whole deal. Yeah, they had it all. They didn't hold back on a single fucking thing. I mean, they were doing everything. I think they were allowed. Yeah, they did tubes in the building. So that was that time. But Don Tony's statement to it was, I went there to flyer. I went there to flyer for XPW, and we sat down, and it was nothing but hardcore, hardcore, hardcore. Every match was fucking light tubes and smashing and glass and barbed wire, every fucking match. And after four matches of that, we got up and just fucking left. Flyed all the cars and got the fuck out of there. And I know for a fact because I was going every single month from 2001 until, what was it, 2011 or 2012, whatever the case. 2012, you know, missing a month here and there, but especially that year, I did not miss shit on early CZW. I know motherfucking well it wasn't a death match every single match. I know that for sure. But that was his statement on it. That was his, like, be-all, end-all. That was his opening and closing statement on how he felt about CZW from now until the end of time, and would never give it another chance, would never look at it. That was his opinion. His opinion was set in stone, and that was it. That was like, which was the most ridiculous thing in the world, because that was how he just based his opinion, and that's that. He had seen a bunch of indie talent that worked on the Frank Goodman shows, because he had did the same type of bus trips, fucking Money Mark shit for Goodman. And he saw a lot of the Sanjays and this and that. And it wasn't like he said, oh, well, CZW's using them. Let me also check out that. It wasn't even an option for him. It was it. Closed door, no nothing. And Ring of Honor, his statement on that has always been, it's an off-Broadway play. There's a reason why it's off-Broadway. It might be okay, but it's not quite Broadway. Or like he would put it like that, like it's the minor leagues, and there's a reason why it's a minor league. And it's funny because that type of statement would be the same blanket statement that he used to cover anybody that ever fucking wrote in, and because I only did the one time. But then you would get, you know, these people are, I mean, a lot of people from around here, wherever else, are indie fans as well. They're like, hey, what do you think about this in Ring of Honor? What do you think about that in Ring of Honor? I don't watch, not too much. You know, and he would just play off any questions or any attention to any indie. And then as soon as the guy would come up on the main roster, like CM Punk, oh, he had a great run over there. Yeah, Ring of Honor, I like this stuff there. And it's like, wait a minute, dude. Got finished saying every time someone asked you that you don't watch that shit. That shit's off Broadway. You can't watch it. You know what I mean? And he's a New York dude, so you would think when Ring of Honor started running Hammerstein and shit, he would at least give it a chance, but no. And the only thing I could tie it to was his grudge that XPW lost that battle and got sent off. And that was what he hitched his wagon to. So when it came down to them losing their shit, he was, no, fuck that. Fuck them, and that's it. And that's my opinion, that I think that's why those guys would never progress or learn anything. And then Kevin Castle would make statements when Dean Ambrose was really doing his thing. And then they'd, you know, reference John Moxley in my new favorite
clip. John Moxley in a bear suit, banging chicks.
You know, and he would mention John Moxley. And he'd be like, yeah, you know, John Moxley, you know, he had a really good run in Ring of Honor. Well, that's not where Moxley was. That's not where Moxley was making his name. There was no run in Ring of Honor. I think he had a match in Ring of Honor, or two matches. There was no run. His run was in CZW, and he had some Dragon Gate shit down the end or whatever, but that was where the fuck he was doing his thing. So it's funny when, you know, those names would come up because they refused to watch him back then, and then they'll just throw false information out there. It's retarded shit. But either way, you know, I'm not going on this whole rant just to bash them. I'm not even trying to bash them. I'm just saying, like, where they're at with what they do and what goes on. So you will continually get that out of them. You're not going to get too much new. They're going to go over the WWE product. But, you know, again, it's very limited on what they actually cover and what they're even interested in. So, I mean, you're not going to cover a whole lot of what you're not interested in. You can't blame them. So that's that as far as their show. Now, those are two credible shows that I'll give, straight up. There are so many of these fucking shows on the internet, and I don't really give a fuck if I'm putting them over or not, but Hell in a Cell Radio is fucking bullshit. That is some of the biggest dorks on the fucking internet. Like, these fucking people, the way that they talk on there, and they're just fucking geeks. And I don't say it to try to attack people because I think they're competition or I give a shit about who listens to what. I really don't give a fuck. I personally try to listen to all sorts of shit, including them. That's the only reason I know, is because I'll see such and such is on there, Chrissy's on there, DJ's on there, whatever. You know, let me check this out. And I want to fucking stab my eardrums listening to these motherfuckers. They're just candy fucking coated interviews, just straight up bullshit, kiss ass, fucking half kayfabe fucking interviews. What fucking grown man wants to hear, well, how do you feel about your opponent on Saturday? It's like, cool, he's a bad guy.
Yes, he is. Get the fuck out of it. No one wants to hear that fucking coochie coo bullshit. What the fuck are you, what are you, 12? And that's what half of this shit is. And that's why, like, to me, you know, I'm not a super professional dude, and I'm sure, like, a million shows out there are better formatted, better produced, better run, better, call it whatever the fuck you want. I just don't think the content that these guys are putting out is something that I could listen to as a grown man. And I'll listen to it because, like I said, a guest will come on there, and then next thing you know, I'll regret it. And then I'll kind of forget about exactly how bad it was. Down the line, I'll see some shit, and then same thing. Like, holy fuck, man. I'm just trying to skip through it. Is it getting any better? Fuck. The only time one of those shows gets any good, and it's not just them. I just used them as an example because I had listened to it recently, and it was fucking horrendous. The only time that one of them shows gets entertaining is when one of the guests just takes over. When one of the guests just takes over and goes on, you know, into business for themselves, as you call it, or whatever you want to call it, that's when one of those shows might be entertaining for fucking 10 minutes. Because, you know, it's just garbage. And that includes, like, that fucking bitch-ass Jerry Wiseman out there, because that motherfucker set up a sabotage so he would get fucking Ian on the phone back then. And fucking, and this is his claim to fame to this fucking day. He thinks he's the fucking man because of that shit that still went on back then. He fucking got Ian on the fucking phone and then lined all sorts of motherfuckers up to call in to have problems with him. And it was only Ian that stayed on the phone because he wasn't scared of the situation that fucking allowed that dude to get 1 second of fucking credibility for that bullshit that he did. But it was nothing but a sad, and it was nothing that he should be getting any credit for, because if Ian hung up the phone on first fucking caller, show over. It would have just been a bunch of people talking shit about Ian. So that's that, number one. Number two, if you listen to any other one of his shows, it's the same fucking kiss-ass bullshit interview, garbage, fucking nothing special, nerd talk radio. That's what the motherfucker puts out there. And then the one day, I was on, I think, decent terms with him at the time, and because I try to communicate with some of these motherfuckers, and obviously, like many people were, I was intrigued by the shit that went on with the Ian thing until I actually realized exactly what was going on and what it actually was. And it was just a sabotage that Ian allowed. Because if he didn't allow it, just show over. But anyway, communicating with him, and he actually listened to one of my shows and said, like, something about, like, it's unprofessional and that many F-bombs and even your intro shows no class and this and this. This is a dude that went out of his way to ambush a motherfucker that he didn't have shit to do with. To try to make a name for himself. And he still rests on the fucking laurels of, I'm the one to take down Ian Rotten. You didn't take down shit. But this is what I'm saying. This is the type of shows that are out there. So it's crazy, you know, if Soup does, you know, stop doing it, I definitely think they're the best wrestling radio show out there. And fuck, man. And that's, like, I've been saying, too, I'm not the best at anything or anything like that. But when I listen to these other dork shows, I feel like I'm something different. You know, at the very least, I'm something different. Whether I'm great at it or not, that's not for me to say, and I personally don't think so. But I know I'm nothing like these motherfuckers. Over time, I definitely, you know, thought, you know, many, many, many times that I could definitely use a co-host, because there's many nights I get to do this shit, and I'm not up to it. I'm just not up to it. And, you know, why else would I have fucking, you know, anybody who has a co-host could have someone to fall back on. You might have an off night, you could bounce off them. Sometimes they'll get your shit going again. You know, there's a lot of reasons why, like, it works out. I could even be the main talking piece, but at least have someone to bounce back off or lean on or something to get the conversation back online if you get off track. And I said, some nights I'm just not fucking into it. And, you know, solo talk is fucking not for everybody. Shit, I didn't know it was for me either. And, you know, some nights it's not. But, yeah, I mean, that's just,
you know, my feelings on the podcast game as far as wrestling goes. It's just, it's a crazy, crazy scene, and a lot of it is just not worth listening to. Believe me, I'm not saying any of this shit to put myself over. It's just a bunch of shit that I was thinking of lately when, you know, they were talking about hanging it up, and at least for the time being. And then, you know, just the other shows that are out there. Just thinking, like, I don't know. But anyway, NFL, let me go and talk a little bit about that. Well, the Broncos went and beat the Patriots on the early game. Hold on, my dog's acting fucking stupid. She's going to start making dumb noises, so I'm going to kick her out of my room. Come on, Lily. Let's go. The Broncos beat the Patriots. Peyton Manning threw for like 400 yards, which is, you know, what he does when he's on. He pretty much throws for 400 yards. The thing is, the Patriots were not a good defensive team all year. They were severely crippled on offense. Them getting as far as they did and being actually like a bye week team, the number two seed, these guys were just an example of how bad the AFC was, really. Because there's no way that that team should have made it as far as they did. But, you know, a guy like Tom Brady and Belichick, his coach, I mean, there's no stopping them if you give them an opportunity to run shit. I mean, there's nothing about those two guys that's going to allow a team to be horrible. I'm not saying anything like they're horrible or anything like that, but nowhere near in the class of the NFC teams. You know what I mean? No way. Had we gotten to the Super Bowl, we would have fucking destroyed the Patriots if the Patriots got there. And same difference with Seattle or New Orleans. I think they definitely would have got killed in the Super Bowl, the Patriots, if they made it there. Just no defense to hold up. Defense held up against Indy, but that was one out of how many games? I mean, it's fucking crazy. But anyway, Peyton Manning put up them fucking points on him. Tom Brady, he had his one little flash of Tom Bradyism, like it was towards the end of the game, and he just had one completely effortless drive, like nothing stopping him, just drove right down the field in no time, scored a touchdown, and it was just that too little too late. But that's like I said with him. You flip that switch, and he's just unstoppable. It's crazy. It's fucking crazy. That's why he's one of the best quarterbacks to play the game, because he's just able to do that. And you put a team around him, and it's curtains. He's always a problem. That was that. Well, going into the next game, obviously I was not happy with this outcome. The Seahawks beat us, and that's it. You know, Seahawks are going to the bowl. To elaborate on that, I mean, Colin Kaepernick ran for 100 yards in the first half, which I think was the first dude to do that since, fuck, I forget, but in a long, long time. Just amazing shit. If he was able to turn up a little bit more of that in the second half, we would have been a lot better served. You know, defense was playing well. I didn't have a problem with too much of how we played this game. Obviously, the way that we played the first half was perfect. I mean, you know, Colin putting up 100 yards. They were shutting down our passing game for the most part, but Colin was able to turn it up he was able to turn up the run game when they had most of our run game shut down. So we couldn't get anything doing with Frank Gore, but he could run an option, or he could run whatever he was running and just take off. And that's something that makes the Niners so special, because if they get that clicking and they get that offense in sync where they're able to bust that off, you can't stop them. It's just, you know, you shut down the pass, you shut down the run. Well, now, fuck, the quarterback's running. You know, you guard the running backs, you guard the receivers, fuck, quarterback's open, and look at them go. And that's kind of what they were doing in the first half. And defense was able to hold Seattle to points in the first half. So you had to feel really, really good about the way that the defense was playing, and the offense was still getting things done, even though Seattle, you know, had everything on lock for the most part. Second half was a different story. You know, Seattle put up 10 points in both quarters, and you know, we were able to put up another 7 points flat. So that wasn't good at all. I got to be honest, too, like, I'm not a dude that bitches about the refs a lot, but the refs fucked us heavy in this game. And one thing I got to say is they need to completely throw out that things can't be challenged. Now, these coaches only get so many challenges per game. And if you get a challenge wrong, you lose a timeout. You only have so many timeouts per game. So it's not like if you allowed anything to be challenged, it's going to add fucking 2 hours to the game. That's not the case at all. You only have a couple challenges. So what you use them on is on you. They need to allow everything to be reviewable. Everything. Why the fuck not? Because if it's reviewable and it's overturned, well, then shit, it should have been. If it's not overturned, then you lose your fucking timeout. Obviously, you can't go blowing all your timeouts on challenges, or guess what? That's it. I mean, you're not going to be able to win a game. So it's going to weed itself out. Maybe some coaches will get too trigger happy with it, and they'll blow their fucking timeouts, and it'll bite them in the ass towards the end of the game. Very possible it'll happen. But I have no idea why it's like, well, you can challenge this. This is non-reviewable. This is non-reviewable, but that's reviewable. That fucking kick, we went to punt the ball, and the rule says if you run into the kicker's plant leg, it's considered roughing the kicker. That's a 15-yard penalty, and that team keeps the ball. If it's running into the kicker, it's running into the kicking leg, or maybe another part of the kicker. I think it, at the very least, the kicking leg. But you run into the plant leg, a leg that's still on the ground, the motherfucker's in flamingo status, that is automatically roughing the kicker, team keeps the ball. That's the only fucking thing that dude made contact with, and they called running into the kicker. You can watch the replay till you're blue in the face. He hits him dead in the fucking ankle. That's the only thing he made contact with was that leg that would have made it a 15-yard with the ball. So obviously, would have still been our ball. Did we score on that drive? I don't know. But we kicked the fucking ball. Seattle scored on that drive coming back. That's 7 points. We lost by six. Do the fucking math. Yeah, I mean, it's enough that it could have changed the game. Now, the other one that was another completely blown fucking call, that, honestly, it doesn't even matter because on the next play, we ended up fumble recovery, and it actually bought us a little bit of distance. So we actually kind of, obviously not on the injury, but we kind of made out on that play because the ball ended up getting knocked back to like the 15, and we actually, you know, got a little bit of space away from the end zone on that. But what happened was it created a fumble. Navarro Bowman created a fumble, fucking got the ball in his hands, tore his fucking ACL and MCL, and didn't let go of the fucking ball, which fucking jerk-offs on the network have to play his fucking injury 12 times just to show that he's holding the ball instead of just showing him holding the ball. They got to keep replaying the fucking guy tearing his fucking ACL and MCL out. And fucking credit to Navarro Bowman for not letting go of the ball while he tears fucking ligaments. Jesus Christ, that dude's a beast. And I hope he wins Defensive Player of the Year. I really do. But Keekly's supposed to be the front runner, so is that. But That was our ball all day. Sorry, non-reviewable. We can't look at that again. What the fuck does that mean? Why the fuck? What are you talking about? You can't we can't look at it. Clearly it was wrong, but, you know, by rule, we can't look at that. It's like fucking clear crimes with statutes of limitations on it. Like, yeah, we know we killed them, but, you know, it's been 10 years and you can't retry them. It is what it is. Sorry, it sucks. And then you just move on. Like I said, it really negated it because we ended up getting the ball, pushed forward a little bit. That was fine. But, come on, man. So anyway, we get down there. Man, this drive looks fucking fantastic. We're getting the ball down there. And now we got timeouts. We got fucking 20 seconds left in the game. And fucking Cap throws a bad fucking pass over in the corner to Crabtree, but Sherman's right over there. You know, Sherman, and the dude's extremely talented. That I can't take away from him, but he's a dickhead. And that was Kaepernick's fault. He shouldn't have thrown that pass. He threw another pick that was completely ridiculous in that game, too. He just threw that shit right over there where the coverage was. Seattle Seahawks are one of the best at pass defense. You can't throw anything that's even close to questionable at them. You better get the motherfucker open. You better throw that shit where only your receiver can get to it, because if not, the Seattle Seahawks are going to capitalize on it. That's just what it is. There was no reason or excuse for him throwing the ball over where he threw it. So, on to game over. That's it. Game over, and this leads to Richard Sherman going over there, running over fucking Aaron Andrews, and going fucking, you know, don't nobody talk about me. Never fucking, I'm the best. You know what I mean? All this fucking Muhammad Ali shit. Now, you know, people trying to, oh, he's cutting a wrestling promo. Oh, this is great. Dude, first off, it's unprofessional. Second off, he's going on and on calling Crabtree mediocre. He called him mediocre. He called him sorry. All those things because they were talking shit. Now, first off, if this was the right thing to do or the cool thing to do, we just beat the Carolina Panthers the week before. Steve Smith talks more shit than probably any wide receiver in the fucking game. And they got him on, like, I watched Inside the NFL the week before this game. And they show him on the sideline. They got him all mic'd up. And he's like, you try me, you bet against me, you go broke. Like, this dude is cutting promos on the sideline. No bullshit. This dude is fucking wilding the whole game. And you can see him, this dude catches like a first down pass, and you see his head going and shit. Like, this motherfucker's flipping out every time he catches the ball. All game, talking mad shit. That's all Steve Smith does. You think when we beat the fucking, when we beat the Panthers, the first thing out of fucking one of the Niners' mouth was, talk shit now, Steve! Well, fuck you, Steve! You know what I mean? Like, nah, because that's not the right thing to do. You're not supposed to do that. And I understand getting fired up, but, you know, hey, he said that shit fired up to Aaron Andrews. Then he went back there more composed and talked more composed, but still went out of his way to call fucking Crabtree mediocre like fucking four times. First off, Crabtree's got some of the best hands in the NFL. Straight up. Like, that dude's hands are fucking ridiculous. That dude can catch a ball better than most fucking dudes in the NFL. Now, that doesn't say whatever for a route running or speed or whatever fuck else you want to contest, but as far as his fucking hands go, his hands are ridiculous. On top of that, there's nothing the fucking receiver could do if the fucking quarterback throws a ball that the defenders could catch. There's nothing they could do about it. If Crabtree was open, Colin Kaepernick threw the ball where only he can get it, then, I mean, honestly, I think if Richard Sherman had beef with fucking Colin Kaepernick, it still wouldn't have been professional, but he could have said what he said if he had beef with Colin Kaepernick. Don't throw the ball over there. I'm the best. Who the fuck you think you're throwing the ball to when I'm standing there? You know what I mean? Again, not professional, but a little more accurate to say, like, you ain't fucking with me. Like, I mean, that was the dude behind you that was supposed to be catching the ball. Obviously, he couldn't catch the ball with you fucking in front of him tipping the ball. I mean, you made a great play. You're a very talented dude. Call what you want to call it. I'll say another thing, though, about that dude. None of the best ever have to tell nobody they're the fucking best. This isn't boxing where you got to be Muhammad Ali. You never heard Joe Montana go out there and go, well, you know, I went in there and I came back against Boomer Esiason because I'm the fucking best. Sorry, Boomer. I'm the best out. Jerry Rice didn't have to go out there and, yeah, well, you know, I know it's rough covering me because I'm the fucking best. You know, what are you going to do? That's what happens when you test the best. Keep talking junk, man. You know, anytime you want, I'm the best. That's not what you do in a press conference when you're the best. That's not what you do in an interview when you're the best, is go around and tell people you're the best. Other people should call you the best. And I think that's the way fucking, I honestly think life conducts itself that way. You should never have to tell nobody how fucking good you are. They should be telling you. So that's that. And the dude is incredibly talented. He is. But that was completely classless and unprofessional.
You won a fucking game, you're going to the Super Bowl. You need to talk shit now? Come on, man. And the dude went to Stanford. He's not a stupid dude. And then he just came off fucking pro wrestler speak and shit. Just fucking, you know? It just don't make no fucking sense. And because I hate the Seahawks and I really want to see dude upset, I 100% am pulling for fucking Peyton Manning and his fucking big watermelon-headed ass to win his fucking second ring. Peyton Manning, his fucking movie screen forehead, go out there and then really just fucking torch Sherman and everybody else and throw for 400 yards in the Super Bowl and take his home his second ring so they can stop calling him a fluke and stop saying that he ain't as good as Eli. That dude is a million times better than Eli. You're going to go off of rings because the team was better. Get the fuck out of here. So that is what it is. I definitely hope the fucking Broncos win. Fuck the Seahawks. So they won the game, man. And like I said, I could talk about the ref thing because that would have changed the game. It really would have changed the game if that kick went the way it was supposed to. If the roughing the kicker pass, if the roughing the kicker call was called correct and penalized correctly, then the game would have been different. I don't think it would have been the same score in the end. Will we have won it? There's really no saying that. But it wouldn't have been the same exact outcome. We would have had an ability to maybe do something. Maybe not. Either way, it came down to that last play. Colin Kaepernick threw a ball that shouldn't have been put where it was put. He could have been a lot fucking safer about that. He actually could have tried another play up the middle and just chopped up more yards because we had a timeout. There was no reason for that big risk, and he took it. And we lost the game, so that's what it is. You know, I ain't not going out of my way to talk about anybody cheating or any of that shit. They won the game, you know. We had opportunities to win it regardless of the refs or anything else, and we didn't. So it happens. Next year we're going to be back. And, you know, this is 3 years in a row. We went to the NFC Championship at least. Last year went to the Super Bowl. This year went to the championship. Year before went to the championship. I mean, that's Coach Harbaugh doing his motherfucking thing, if nothing else, man. But anyway, here's Mike Epps doing his Richard Sherman impression. If you see it on YouTube, it's even better because he's dressed up like him and shit. But
let's send you down to the field and Aaron Andrews.
Joe, thank you, Richard. Let me ask you that final play. Take me through.
I can't hear you. What'd you say?
You heard me.
What'd you say?
You heard me.
I can't hear you.
That final play, you heard me.
I'm making for, oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. I'm the best corner in the game.
When you put a sorry-ass receiver up against me like this, they got a nipple ring and a ear ring and a teddy, this is the same result you're going to get. I'm the baddest corner in the football league. When you put a receiver that's a little minor league, kiddie league, super league, a little bitty kid, he played football with Snoop in the league.
Don't you ever. Don't the shit that you say that what you talk about me.
Who is this talking about you?
Cranberry sauce. Well, I think it's Crabtree. Crabtree said something about me. Don't you ever. Why don't you ever? And then he asked me for some of my Skittles earlier today. You asked me for some of my Skittles earlier today, and I gave you six of them. Cranberry sauce was talking about me, and Kanye, you said something too. You don't know the answers. You don't know all the answers. Where's Pam Oliver nappy head ass at? Tell her too. You think Sway don't have all the answers? You don't have all the answers. But you know who has the answers? Richard Sherman has the answers. Richard Sherman has the answers. M.O.B. Money over bitches.
Oh, I've never seen somebody so mad about going to the Super Bowl. Joe, back to you.
So here, whatever, I'll pick
some shit for you motherfuckers. This generation rules the nation with version.
We got plenty more.
dealing with my logo on the side of fucking 18 wheeler.
Black Ball, the Imperial. You know you love it when you hear us on the radio. Go stop the joint and play the shit up in your stereo. Or in the streets, up in the jeeps, or in the disco. And if you want the fly shit, my nigga, here we go.
You and dismantle niggas like y'all. I got the thing that'll majorly handle niggas like y'all. Bite y'all, bust a semi and cancel niggas like y'all. I know some joke niggas who love to hassle niggas like y'all. Talking fix and simply dance on niggas like y'all. Trample niggas like y'all. Make examples out of niggas like y'all. Grit they teeth and cock they hammer up inside the dance hall. Thugs, here's another sample for niggas like y'all. And for the ones who pass, I light a Roman candle for niggas like y'all. Fight for niggas like y'all. Grab the mic for motherfuckers like y'all. Blow the spot and end the night for all my niggas like y'all. My get high niggas, I blaze for niggas like y'all. Stick the spot up with Joe, now spray your fucking lights on y'all. You know we be the ultimate, we fucking with some other shit. And when we hit y'all, yes, we sit and watch y'all niggas ride the dick.
The Imperial, you know you love it when you hear us on the radio. Go out the joint and play the shit up in your stereo. Or in the streets, up in your jeeps, or in the disco. And if you want the fly shit, my nigga, here we go. You know it's bigger looking pretty in the video.
Up a nigga for talking lots of whack shit while I roll around with the Harriet Thugman of this rap shit.
Who black chick with intellect? Who wanna match with? Write my own rhyme so can't no niggas tell me jack shit.
Master shit, flip mode exclusive across the map and shit. Presenting the first lady of the squad, now give me dap.
Stay in peace when you see me play the role like Ali Sheedy. And I ain't gonna join your cypher if the weed too seedy.
Yo, make sure you see what we doing now. Put on your binoculars, then I cash in like a paid Latino down at Banco Popular.
Rod Digger Underground, and more.
It's one of the great spoken philosophers. Holding a 12-shot semi with a little red dot figure.
First and only female unmatched by anyone. Ripping from old school to the next millennium.
Flip mode, the Imperial. You know you love it when you hear us on the radio. Go stop the joint and play the shit up in your stereo. Or in the streets, up in your jeeps, or in the disco. And if you want the fly shit, my nigga, here we go. You know it's bigger looking pretty in the video. We bust a bus up in the cup, but you don't hear me though.
John Moxley in a bear suit, banging chicks.
All right. I actually played that just to stop the song because this Pog Pog shit doesn't have a stop button on it. Let me see what I wanted to do real quick before I did get into the DJ stuff. Jerk off of the week.
I don't like your jerk off name. I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk off.
My jerk off of the week is motherfuckers with cologne on. Bitches with perfume too, but cologne ass dudes in the gym. Oh, come on, man. What the fuck did you go there for, first off? Second off, just straight up people with cologne in fucking public anyway. When I walk up to talk to somebody, especially at the job where I gotta talk to these fucking people, and then just get a fucking wave of fucking cologne coming off the fucking dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? What kind of shit did you smell like before you left the house that you need to coat yourself in motherfucking perfume before you Febreze your motherfucking ass before you went into public? What the fuck? Jump in the fucking shower, don't smell like nothing, and go out the fucking world where you can talk to people. God damn it. That goes for all you motherfuckers. It seems like the fatter, the more cologne they put on. Fucking ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. So actually, and I wanted to play back to back with that, but I wasn't right next to the thing. But this is a good clip I might attach to that intro too.
You can find me on tapes. It's hilarious because I look like a complete jerk off. But even CZW, I look like a complete jerk off.
Yeah, and that wasn't doctored at all. So,
the DJ shoot interview. This was 7 hours. RF video conducted by, you know, that little scumbag referee again, because he seemed to blow the right guy. Could be the guy that happened to be on the Dateline thing. Could have been. But anyway, that guy did the interview, and he covered a lot of different things. Honestly, wasn't a bad shoot. DJ's a pretty delusional dude. He does talk a lot of crazy shit, but he seemed to be pretty candid about things. You know, some things that, you know, maybe you might even watch the interview and not hear some of the things that I heard. I feel like I heard shit that other people didn't hear. For instance, he said this.
John asked for a certain amount of money and said, "You're hot." Put him in his mouth. Like, I threw up on myself. This is what I want CZW to be, and basically how what I want to do in the future. I mean, basically, I want to be the buffet table of professional wrestling.
And I didn't really understand that. I mean, hearing that, I didn't understand where he was going with that. I mean, I never heard no shit like that about Zandig. But, hey, man, this is his shoot. So, but beyond that, going into talking about buying the company, I thought it was pretty interesting that he said that, you know, obviously going from wrestler to promoter and, you know, not top guy. It's not like it was Nick Gage fucking buying the company. It was DJ Hyde, who might not have had all the respect in the world, you know, of the locker room as a guy that they looked up to or a guy that they, you know, feared or anything like Zandig. So for him to, you know, do the switchover like that, apparently in the contract was that Zandig was supposed to hang out for 6 months or so and kind of help with the transition, and Zandig kind of bailed. So I thought that was pretty interesting because it does make a lot of sense, too, because it didn't seem like there was a lot of understanding as far as, you know, well, everybody obviously knew what the sale was about, and they knew that there was a switchover, but I don't think that the respect was just transferred over to DJ that they had for Zandig. You can't just do that. You can't just transfer the respect you have for someone. So that was very interesting. He obviously, you know, bashes the shit out of Quack throughout the whole shoot. You know, on and off. Just he really doesn't like Quack. He has a lot of issues with him. There was like a thing that happened in the training, which you know, he didn't like that. Dude got hurt. Like another dude got hurt. And there was a big blowout there, so he didn't like him for that stuff. Apparently, Quack never really respected DJ, so he never really talked to him, like, you know, with any kind of respect. And, you know, he wasn't a fan of him. So when it came to them ever trying to do business within the ownership thing, wasn't going to happen. And, you know, he had problems, big, big problems, and he had a grudge against the whole, you know, wrestling, Pro Wrestling Day thing, which apparently they're doing again soon. But DJ had a real big fucking hard-on for that and the fact that he wasn't included in this and that, which personally I don't see that big of a deal with it because even though Pro Wrestling Day was a pretty big thing, I didn't see it as a great show. I didn't see it as something that I would go out of my way to see or anything like that. Like I saw it online. I didn't pay for it. I even looking at the card, it wasn't something that I would go and attend, even though that it was free walking in the door. I don't know. I mean, from what he's saying too, I've heard, you know, conflicting things. He was saying that they charged everybody, including the wrestlers, $10 parking. So you figure all the people in attendance and all the fucking locker room, which was a heavy, heavy locker room that day, you know, quite a bit of money. But I've also heard conflicting things saying that was the venue, not Quack or the promotion that was charging $10. So that's not something that, you know, was under the control of that. He,
you know, went in on Quack quite a bit, and it is what it is. A lot of people don't like him, and shit, you know, for the reasons he's saying, you know, he's got his right not to like. I thought it was pretty surprising on how he went in on Matt Tremont. And this is one of the things that he kind of flip-flops on, because being asked, like, you know, well, what happened to Tremont's push and this, he pretty much says, like, well, Matt Tremont's really green, and I carried him through our whole feud. You know, to segue real quick, or digress, DJ, what I'm saying about some of his delusions, he has this vision where he's a really good wrestler. He really, truly believes that. You'll hear many, many times in the shoot, I had a great match with that guy. I had a great match with that guy. We have really good chemistry. He thinks he has really good chemistry with 10 different guys, and I can't pick 10 different DJ Hyde matches that I even like. So apparently his really great chemistry in his mind is good enough to flow by. So anyway, he carried Matt Tremont through the whole feud. He said Matt Tremont can't remember a single spot, so unless you call it on the fly, Tremont's not going to remember anything you're doing. He's not any good like that. And that's you know, what he said, which was something that I didn't know, and you know, I'm sure the fans didn't know. Tremont was continually the biggest face over that whole space of time. Even though, like, slightly after the fact, when, and this is before Tremont's heel turn, Brett asked him, like, who do you think the biggest face in CCW is? And he kind of stammered around a little bit before he said, well, Greg Excellence really over, OI4K, and come on, dude. Before Tremont's heel turn, there's no way that Tremont wasn't the biggest fucking face in the company. Just reaction alone. You know what I mean? Fuck out of here. Of course he was. And then he goes on from that saying that, like, all right, well, I did the Cage of Death match, but then I put him in with Tommy Dreamer in January, and the match was completely horrible, and Tommy was upset, so he more or less pulled the rug out from under him. And more or less said, like, that squashed anything he had planned for Matt, because that was supposed to excel Matt. Then, almost without pause, he goes to say, then I really wanted Matt to help Joe Gacy get to the next level. So if this is a dude that you carried for a year, why would you want him to get someone else to the next level if you're already upset with his performance with Dreamer? It goes back to, like, one of those things that Adam Carolla says all the time. You're either stupid or you're a liar. Because that's one of those phrases that, like, well, if you don't think he can remember anything and you don't think that he can get through a match without someone carrying him, and you put him in a position where you want him to excel someone else, if all those things are true, then you're stupid. If one of those things isn't true and that's just what you're saying, well, then you're a liar. I mean, one of the two things has to apply, because he can't both be horrible and the guy you want to carry someone else. I mean, you can't use both. But that was what he wanted, according to him. And, you know, I really don't understand that too much. But I was surprised to hear him bury Matt. I was. And I don't really think just calling someone green is burying him. But he pretty much put him out there, saying that he carried him through the whole thing, and that the match with Tommy Dreamer was one of the worst things he's ever seen, and even Tommy Dreamer couldn't help him and all this. So I don't know. I was surprised by that. I really was. Now, another thing, Rory, this is conflicting things. Now, I'm trying to get DJ on the show, hopefully next week. If not next week, hopefully the week after. And this is one of the things I'm going to ask him, too. I have many, many things to ask him that wasn't touched in this shoot. majority of things that I do have to ask him was not touching his shoot. So it'll be very, very entertaining, if so. But one of the things he said about Rory, and this is something that conflicts with what Joker said on my show. Rory set up his own relationship to get that big tour with Japan. According to DJ, that was all DJ. So, one saying one thing, one saying the other thing. I don't know what the truth is. Then as far as Joker goes, it's funny, and that's why I keep introducing my show that way. Joker, his big announcement and his big coming out, so to speak, no homo, on leaving the business at the time, especially CZW, and airing out every problem that he had with CZW and DJ happened on my show, and my show only. That was a little exclusive there. He came on my show and did all that. So when that came up, DJ says, I know Joker went on some blog show ran by some Mark and buried me. Which to me is funny because, like, I understand, to a certain extent, I understand him not putting me over by mentioning what show it was. But this is, you know, something where he knows Joker buried him, but all he has to do, all he has something negative to say about, more or less, is me, is to try to call me a Mark. You know what I mean? I just thought it was funny. I was just like, all right, that's fine. DJ's been on my show before, and like I said, I plan to have him back on. Unless he changes his mind, he's completely agreed to do it. I asked him a couple weeks ago before I even watched the shoot. I told him I was starting to watch you and this and that. I was going to have some follow-up questions and afterward questions. So, and I actually just sent him a message tonight asking him if he wants to do it next week. So I have no answer yet. If he gets me back before the show's over, I'll let you know. If not, I'll continue to try, and hopefully it'll happen next week or the week after. But that's what I'm going for. And I just thought it was hilarious because I was like, they hit the Joker thing, and then as soon as I heard the word podcast, because I think someone said something about Brett might have said something about a podcast or something, and that's funny. Oh, some blog show on this one. So I thought that was funny. But when he talked a lot about Joker, and the thing is he has a lot to say about him. He has a lot to say about Eddie, but he backpedals at least a half turn every time he goes in and goes, oh, I'd love to have you there now. I'd love to have you there now. You know what I mean? So it's a little crazy like that. And most of the things that Joker had a problem with, a lot of the things that Joker had a problem with as far as what he said on my show is not even what DJ addressed. I mean, what DJ addressed on the shoot was saying stuff about an email and a Japan trip and stuff like that. Which, Joker had a problem with a Japan trip that he addressed on the show, but he had a lot of other problems with the booking of CZW and the way that was getting jerked around and the training at the school and the way Masada got jerked around over there and a bunch of different things, So, I don't know. I mean, maybe we can get him addressed a little bit more than that. Then he comes on, but that was all over the place. Eddie, he went in on to Eddie Kingston. He went in on, he did that weird shit too, where it's like, you Mark bitch, fucking dick sucking. And then he's like, but I'd love to have you on the show. It's just like, you can't imagine that the dude's going to come on after all of that shit. So it was just strange that, but according to him, he had everything to do with him getting into CZW. I mean, he gave G's and Joker credit too. But he said without him, he'd be nothing. He got him into CZW, and CZW made Kingston, and then Kingston shit on him for Quack and this and that. So, you know, he's definitely fired up about Kingston is one of the people he's the most fired up about. Let me see, what else did he go on about? He talked about CZW contracts, and I got to get some more elaboration out of him on that because none of it made sense. He's more or less said he was trying to make the contracts, trying to get things going that way, and
just completely fell flat on it because it was like, well, I can guarantee them bookings. And I think danced around it with, like, maybe more money, but, like, definite guaranteed bookings. For the most part, all these people that are booking them are guaranteed bookings. I mean, they're not, you know, legally binding, but for the most part, you know, if they're booked on Dragon Gate or they're booked on Ring of Honor, they're not just yanked off last minute. I mean, I'm imagine it happens, but not as often where, like, CZW signed contract for guaranteed bookings are going to be an enormous perk. And generally, CZW is a guaranteed booking the same way that those would be guaranteed bookings. We're like, all right. So, I mean, kind of according to him, he would stop using them, but not really. Because when no one signed them, he didn't stop using anybody. He just bailed on the – he wanted people to, like, cower to him and all sign the contracts and then not be able to work somewhere else. There just wasn't a lot of benefit or upside. He just kept repeating guaranteed bookings and guaranteed bookings. And that's not fucking – that's not – and then, like, another thing he went in on that I keep playing the clip of because I think it's fucking hilarious and that's just going to be something I use forever – but this little
John Moxley in a bear suit banging chicks.
I can't personally. I don't think that's something he's just supposed to be putting out there. I mean, he could say whatever the fuck he wants to say, but for someone who, you know, they go out of their way to every time Mox is on TV, mostly Maven, but either way, every time Mox is on TV, like, that's a CCW guy. Look at him. That's our guy. That's our guy. I don't think, like, generally wrestlers want you just going, hey, here's a time where he was fucking crazy drunk and just banging some fucking rat. I and, like, pretty much telling anybody who's a longtime CZW fan by that shoot knew exactly, including myself, knew exactly who the fuck they were talking about. They more or less named her. Older CZW, not a worker, chick who was around, fan. First name Jay, been with half the locker room. You could pretty much figure her out if you fucking, you've been around CZW and you've gone on a regular basis for a long time. You could figure it fucking out. A long fucking time she was around there. And, dude, fucking, I don't think Moxley just wants that put out there as a WWE guy. And I could be wrong because I don't fucking know him like that, but I thought that was just cool shit for you to put on your shoot, but probably not so cool as, like, somebody's friend at all. So I don't know. That's that, though. What else? Fuck. I know there's a ton of shit. Should have wrote more. That I didn't write as much as I wanted to. I just was like, I'll remember that, which clearly isn't the case. Shit. Trying to think. Oh, another thing he probably shouldn't have put out there is – when he was talking about the sale of the company, he's like, yeah, I wanted to pay John Sandick in one check, but he wanted it in a bunch of different checks because if it's over a certain amount of money, he has to report it to the IRS. So if you break it up in a bunch of different checks, then the IRS doesn't need it. Dude, that's not fucking good. You can't just fucking... You can't just yell to the heavens, I did all this stuff with my money so the IRS wouldn't investigate it. Like, not safe neither. Jesus Christ. Just fucking talk about throwing people under the fucking bus. God damn. So yeah, that was a special one. What else did he say? Oh man. Yeah, I don't know. He kind of got mad at Drake for doing his last death match in Germany, which, you know, I know caught a bunch of heat and stuff and back and forth. But as far as, you know, what I've understood, Germany had like a million times better fucking reaction-wise. Like, the CZW crowd's been dead for a while, which I 100% agree with. Whether they would have got better exposure or distribution over here, probably. But as far as what the crowd reaction to everything was, and he wanted it to be special, maybe it was best over there. I don't know. That's Drake's decision, though. He doesn't, like, after everything he's poured into CZW, he doesn't owe CZW anything for him to do his last thing there. Like, he's done all his other shit there. He's done tons of fucking big shit there. I don't think he necessarily owed DJ that match just because he wanted to call deathmatch quits. I don't know. And I know, like, DJ, you know, criticized quite a bit on it because, like, it was more or less his wife's decision and not his. And he did a pretty good Drake Younger impression when talking about it. So definitely check that out. Another one of those weird clips that I don't know if anyone else heard. I heard it, but, you know, other people probably watched that video and didn't hear it. I mean, it's just check.
I was a mark who was big and they could get booked on shows. I was always the first guy to get there and probably the last to leave. I didn't really give a shit about anything. I just went to work. And I literally went out, banged somebody's chick. You think I reached out to them? No. They reached out to me. All right? And as a promoter, I'd like to exploit some of those guys.
Yeah, I didn't really understand why you even put that out there, but I was just one of those things. Another one of those things DJ went out there and did. He went out and he Scotty Vortex was another guy he kind of shot on and stuff because Scotty, you know, had some things where he ended up not showing, and I guess they had to change a lot as far as the booking and stuff because he had a real job and he decided not to do something or other. I don't know. But part of what he was saying is, oh, I paid for your surgery, this and that. Like, to the best of my understanding, he paid for Scotty's surgery because they had fucking plate glass in that match. And at fucking Tangled Web, they had fucking plate glass in that match that could have fucking killed Scotty. And that was what fucking cut his wrist. So that's why DJ paid for the surgery, because it was kind of a good deed to do, being as there was a complete fuck up by the staff that could have fucking killed Scotty in the ring. And I know that, like, that plate glass wasn't something Scotty knew about before he hit the fucking glass. So, you know what I mean? I don't know if DJ should be patting himself on the back for paying for the dude's surgery like it was a great fucking thing. And I think he was scared. I think he was terrified, and that's why he paid for the surgery and put the title on him and whatever else. You know what I mean? He wanted to make the dude feel better because fucking that shit was that was a pretty scary joint right there. But another one more clip that I just heard and said, you know, I better pull this because I don't think everybody heard this. And check this one.
I'm not a likable person. You know what I'm saying? I'm a prick, asshole. I mean, come on, bro. If you look at ROH now or even Dragon Gate USA, every fucking single guy who was a top guy there, I would rather take a shit on his chest. And I think Burns recognized that. And you know what? I'm not being respectful. I would rather boxes of fucking, you know, Twinkies and hostesses at my house.
Yeah, well, shit. You know, the Gage thing, too, he said Gage was making – originally when Gage got locked up, he did an interview and saying Gage makes more than most people make in a week. And then he said something in the interview like, well, most people don't make $300 or $200 or some low figure that was just like, oh, I don't think that's the image you were putting out there. That's kind of crazy. But either way, you know, it is what it is. Like you said, it was a good shoot. I mean, for 7 fucking hours of a guy who I hate to hear talk in the ring, it was a good shoot. Definitely worth listening to. You know, you got some time on your hands, and it actually goes pretty quick. Covers a lot. He's actually going to have a part 2. He's going to be filming in March. And some other project, DJ Hyde versus the World, which, I don't think you need 100 projects right now. Just so anyway, there's the shoot thing, and I'm sure I'll remember other things. And this isn't the last show I'm doing, so I'll be able to bring it up next week or the week after, or whenever I remember it. Because I just a bunch of things I had on my mind, and some I wanted to cover and stuff. And
like I said, a lot more too that I'm gonna go back in and ask him when I actually do get him on the show, because tons to ask, and that's what's up. So anyway, check out the Sports Den tonight. They're going to be talking a lot. I know Nick's going to be ranting and raving about the Richard Sherman thing, because he's mad that people called him a thug, and then they started getting all racial and this online. So he's going to go out of his way to defend the dude. But whatever, like I said, you already heard my side on it. But yeah, I don't think the dude's necessarily a thug for doing that or anything like that. You know, I just think it's fucking ignorant statement, and you know, not the professional thing to do when you're going to the Super Bowl. You should probably just chill the fuck out and know that, you know, the win speaks for itself. I mean, you could talk whatever. It's not even about being PC, but you know, I mean, just acting like that's unsportsmanlike. You know, so whatever, do what you want to do. But check out Sports Den. They're going to talk about all sorts of things on there. All everything sports, and definitely I'm not really sure if Wrestling Soup's on tomorrow, because like I said, a lot of stuff's up in the air. I think they're still going to be making their decision, so I don't think they're going to just cut it off like that. But I mean, tune in there tomorrow night, and maybe they'll have the their decision on that and what they're really going to do and what's going on. Check out Wrestling Soup. The Shiznit, I believe, is on tomorrow night. I believe Stern Nation is on Saturday. That's what's up. Check all those out. Go on their Facebook. You know, punch them up. See what's going on. I'm going to try to get that big, big guest, powerful guest for next week. See if I can do that. Not hopefully the week after, but I'll definitely have a Royal Rumble to talk about next week as well. And hopefully some other stuff. So before I go, I'll play that other track, and then I'll catch you motherfuckers next week.
John asked for a certain amount of money and said, "You're hot." Put him in his mouth. Like, I threw up on myself is what I want CZW to be, and basically what I want to do in the future. I mean, basically, I want to be the buffet table of professional wrestling.
It's I tell ya, Richard of Flatbush.
Speak up.
The word on the street is the Rampage returned.
Yeah.
Ha! One time!
Heavyweight Brooklyn bomber that can't rest. No success, I'm getting money progress. Traveling for free from state to state. That's how I get my idea to create. I live motivate, I keep on moving. It's been proven, I make death jams like Rick Rubin. I stay on my tippy toes, wrecking shows. I'm too slow, you can't beat my ill flow. Hit this furry zone, keep low like an Eskimo. After people still carry my phone. Open the door, it's the real outlaw. From Flatbush to South Shore, giving you more and more. I just came home from tour, it's my time to burn the Rick's floor. I'm coming to the floor with the hats. I'm fully gassed to the max, proving facts. No faking jacks, I'm the baddest man on the wax. Messing around with my squad, you get taxed. Shitting X-Lax on hot track. I can't relax, breaking backs with my NFL quarterbacks. Flip mode DE, we bring good things to life. Put down your gun and light. I'm in to win it, plus I'm wildin' for the night.
All my motherfuckers in the place to be, you feel right. Throw your hands up.
He's getting wild for the night.
Niggas in the place if you wanna fight. Tell me yes, let's get busy, cause we
wild for the night.
My flip mode niggas getting
wild for the night.
Niggas in New York getting
wild for the night.
My niggas in the West getting
wild for the night.
People in the world getting
wild for the night.
My niggas up there, you know your hands up in the place. If you feel right, we getting
wild for the night.
Throw your hands up, you getting
wild for the night.
Niggas cross the land getting
wild for the night.
My niggas downtown, we getting
wow for the night.
Yo, I'm top villain, making a killing, flipping script like Terry McMillan. I can't help the way I'm feeling. Chaps is killing, drugs is dealing. My thought niggas keep illing. Rampage is higher than the ceiling. Mad and feeling, brothers who dealing from Brown villain. I'm ready and willing, I'm playing lock and chase. You can get my black race with bitter. Here's the chase, I'm moving chats like Chase. You about to get late, 15 across your face. You at the wrong place, you at the wrong time. You didn't use your third vision mind. You sipping wine, your vision is blind. No, you can't see the victory. You in this street, it's getting deep. You rolling with the wrong peak, you're the black sheep. You up on tap shot, but your little brother got shot. It's getting hot, now you back around the way with the same clothes, but your bum holes that you chose. They gave up your whereabouts, where you hang out, who you hang with. Now you got to get your dough split. You wildin' for the night.
Oh my motherfuckers, I'm across the land, we feeling right, cause you know we getting
wild for the night.
All my niggas across the sea and the earth, yet you know we coming through, we getting
wild for the night.
My flip mode niggas getting
wild for the night.
My out of state niggas getting
wild for the night.
My cross country niggas getting
wild for the night.
You know we getting
wild for the night.
You know we getting
wild for the night.
There's a cat in the house. Cat in the house. I said, yeah, there's a cat in the house.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill 'em all, back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
These motherfuckers are geniuses.
Keep it up, my nigga.
What the fuck? But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.